Hi, welcome to episode number 21 of Fashionpreneur Talk with Gitana Styling Podcast. My name is Sandra Matteo Iotti. I am a fashion stylist and business consultant. This podcast is about having genuine conversations about fashion entrepreneurship and getting your questions answered. Remember, you can always send us your questions to info@gitanastyling.com. Gitana is G-I-T-A-N-A styling.com. You can remain anonymous if you want, or if you can share your name, your business, and your website with us, and we'll be happy to share it with our listeners. We also want to invite you to hang out inside our free private Facebook group, the Fashion Entrepreneur Club Hangout, where we will provide you with inspiration, support, and knowledge to build a successful fashion business. So today is episode number 21, and we have an incredible guest here with us today. Her name is Sarah Duchovny, and she is a state jewelry curator, an opera singer, and the owner of Songbird Sarah Antique Jewelry. I'm so excited to have her here. Sarah, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks so much for having me.
Sarah, how do you pronounce your last name? I don't want to kill it.
You were actually great. Duchovny. Yeah, you got it.
Good. Thank you for that. Thank you so much for being here. We know you're a busy lady, and we're just so excited to have you here. I just wanted to start the conversation diving in, because if people were paying attention and listening, you actually have a dual career thing going on, and you have been very successful with both, and I think that's fascinating. You are a professional opera singer, and you're the owner of Songbird Sarah Antique Jewelry. And, you know, I always tell people, do what works for you, you know, follow your passion, do what feels right. But I hear a lot of mentors out there saying like, oh, you just have to focus in one thing. You just have to narrow it down. And I want to ask you, you know, based on your experience, how has this decision of following both passions at the same time affected your personal life as well as your business?
That's a great question. And I've definitely heard a lot of that, like, you know, niche down, yes. You know, don't have too many, I don't know, pots on the stove at one time or whatever people say. I don't agree with that at all, because I find that people are so multifaceted, and that's what makes each business unique, right? So I find that I'm able to connect with people in the opera world when I'm talking about jewelry, and I'm able to connect with people in the jewelry world by bringing opera into it. And in both areas, it makes my business or my product or me as an artist stand out in a way that's memorable and interesting and different. And I think I've always been the kind of person who, you know, I love many, many things, and I can't imagine my life without jewelry or without opera. So for me, you know, following both of those was just really important. And especially now with COVID, you know, performing and traveling for opera and, you know, being on stage with hundreds of people, that's not something that we can do right now. And hopefully that will change, you know, in the near future. But it's been really important for my my entrepreneurial and artistic soul to be able to at least pour myself into one aspect of my business and one aspect of who I am. So I'm really grateful that I have both, and I think that they're, you know, it's not like one's a side hustle. Like, they're both equally important to me.
I completely understand. And, you know, that's something actually we talk a lot about here in the podcast, because I always tell people, you know, you have to develop that online part of your business, even if you're always being a brick and mortar, even if you love social interaction one-on-one. I love that part of the business too. I love it. I love going to events and doing styling or fashion shows and, you know, in person. I'm a stylist. But it gives you so much freedom to do things online, and it gives you, you know, you can be serving two people at the same time. And right now it has proven to be so important, like you mentioned, with COVID, because we're stuck at home and what can we do? A lot of businesses have had to pivot. And I think for you, having those two elements have definitely been something that has worked out for you. For people who are listening and who are, you know, dealing with that dilemma, like, oh, should I do this? Should I do that? Should I just mix both? What can you tell them? What are your tips around that?
Well, I think that business is really changing. So I think that even after this time of COVID, I think people are going to realize, you know, just how small the world is and how easy it is to be connected with people who you may have never crossed paths with in, you know, your daily drive down the street life.
Definitely.
So I hope that something that we take from this is like, you can be connecting with people from all over the world, you know, who share your passions, who are good for your business, you know, collaborators, clients. I think that we're going to just see more of those opportunities, you know, going forward, because we're learning, you know, that some limitations that we thought we had don't really exist.
Sure. I agree 100%. And something that I love that you do in your jewelry side of the business, we're going to focus more obviously on the jewelry because we're with fashion entrepreneurs here, but we're super psyched that you are an opera singer too, of course. I think that's fantastic. You know, you add a personal touch to you, everything you do there in your business. And something that I love that I hear and I read about you is that you actually help people, your customers, in, you know, whether it's styling or in their hunt for jewelry. Maybe you help a couple pick the right wedding ring, or maybe you help a bride select, you know, her jewelry look for her wedding day. How has this personal approach helped you and helped the business?
Well, I think jewelry is so personal. Like, it's such a thing that encapsulates, you know, our individual aesthetics, but it also represents really, really important moments in our life. So being able to like be with someone and help them find those pieces that have all these like all these emotions and all these memories attached to them, mm-hmm. is, you know, you're not just a salesperson, like you're a therapist, you know, mind reader, like, you know, there are just so many emotional things that are tied to the life events that we buy jewelry for. So yeah, I think like being with a couple or with a bride, you know, during those really important times, you know, you create a lot of brand loyalty and you get to know each other as people, which is really, you know, the way to do business.
Definitely. I mean, I remember when I got married, you know, going to different jewelry stores with my fiance, and you just, how they treat you is so key.
Yes.
You know, and I think what you're doing here, offering that extra thing, not just because, oh, you're going to buy more pieces, but because, you know, these would look great together and, you know, in a genuine way. I think that has so much value.
Yeah. And I think that, of course, there are wonderful salespeople everywhere, and people in the jewelry industry really do care about the products and their clients. But I think, you know, one of the big draws to working with someone like me who owns her own business is that every single thing that I'm sourcing and that I am finding for couples, mm-hmm. I like truly love that piece, and I care about its history and where it came from and its legacy and carrying on like the romance and the stories of it. So I'm like deeply invested in every single piece in a way that, you know, I think is unique.
Yeah, I think that comes through in your website, like when you go check pictures and everything, like I feel that energy from you. And I think that's so wonderful, because right now with entrepreneurship, I think a lot of that feeling and everything is coming back, that love for actually what you're doing and what you're doing, how you're helping people. So I think that's beautiful.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit more about the divorce ring phenomenon. That's something that caught my eye. Can you share a little bit about the meaning behind it, how this came about?
Absolutely. So I was divorced 5 years ago now. I got married for the first time when I was really young. I married my high school boyfriend, and it was not a good situation. When I was 28, I got divorced, and It was like the first time in my life that I was independent and making decisions for myself as an adult and out of this, you know, emotionally abusive, toxic situation. Yeah. And I missed wearing a diamond ring.
Yeah.
So I fell in love with this amazing, you know, turn of the century platinum diamond ring. It's called a dinner ring. So it's like a cocktail ring. It doesn't, it's not like a solitaire or anything. And it was the first time that I, you know, could just buy something that I wanted for myself. And it was a big purchase, and I bought it, and I was like, oh my gosh, I have this ring. And I didn't call it a divorce ring at that point, but then people would comment on it. And the first thing that popped into my mind was, oh, it's my divorce ring. And it really, like kind of destigmatized the whole situation and helped people understand that this was something I was celebrating. It was something I was happy about. Mm-hmm. And I was celebrating that new chapter of my life. So when I started my business, I posted about it, and women started coming to me to buy their own divorce rings. And it's a really great experience to be a part of with people, because I've been where they are. Mm-hmm. And you know, I'm happy to listen and help find a ring that symbolizes, you know, their hopes and and their fresh start. And it's been a really gratifying experience.
That's amazing. I think this is the right moment to ask you, because I know you talk a lot about the One Love Foundation. And if, you know, someone hearing to listening to the podcast right now, they don't know what the One Love Foundation stands for. I know that it's a nonprofit and that you're a proud ambassador. Can you tell people more about that foundation and how it ties into this?
Yeah, the One Love Foundation is a wonderful organization, nonprofit, that teaches young people, but really anyone, about the difference between healthy relationship behaviors and unhealthy relationship behaviors. And that's all in an effort to, you know, prevent relationship abuse, physical and emotional. So what they do is they train people like me to go into schools and organizations and teach people about, you know, what unhealthy relationship behaviors look like, so that if you're in a situation or a friend or family member is in a situation, you know how to call out those behaviors and kind of give them a name. Because I found, with me, I was so young, I had never been in another relationship before, and I knew that physical violence was abuse, but I didn't necessarily know how to describe the emotional abuse that I was experiencing, and I didn't know, you know, I knew it was wrong, but I didn't know what to call it. So it's been a great experience to, you know, go back and talk to young adults who are the same age that I was when I got into that relationship. And I find that I use it a lot when I'm talking to divorce ring clients, because so many of them have been through similar things to what I experienced.
Totally. And Sarah, if someone needs help and they, you know, where can they contact them? Or maybe they went through something like you and they want to help, or they want to become an ambassador, where should they get that information?
I would just Google One Love Foundation. I think it's, I'm not exactly sure what the exact website is, because I think it's a little bit different, but just Google One Love Foundation. And their website is fabulous, with really, really great and easy to understand tools. And from their website, you can get trained as a educational facilitator, bring programs to your office, to your schools, whatever groups you're part of. And I recommend them 100%. It's just a really, really wonderful thing to be a part of.
Sure. I'll make sure to include a link. When I check it out, I saw the blog posts were amazing. They had some great information.
Yeah.
So yeah, definitely a lot of tools in there. So we'll make sure to add that to the notes so you guys can check it out. I also wanted to ask you, I always share with my audience, you know, you need to have a why in your business. And it's not only the why of like why you help people, what you do for them, but also kind of like a personal why, something that gets you through the days when things get tough, because when everything is awesome, then you can keep going and everything is great. But when it gets tough, you know, you need to have very, very clear about those personal whys. And I feel like for you, this is kind of like what happened with this business, with the jewelry business. Like you included in there, it's part of you also, with your experience and everything that you've gone through. You know, would you like to share a little bit more about that with us?
Yeah, I found that owning a business was such a healing process after getting out of my first marriage. Being in control of my my financial future, even on the days when, you know, it wasn't going so well, or the days still when I'm frustrated or whatever, just knowing that I have control of my business gives me so much confidence. And I'm remarried now, and you know, with COVID, everything is tough. It's scary. Yeah. You know, my husband is an opera singer as well, and things are unclear. And just the other day, you know, he looked at me and he was like, "I'm just so proud of everything that you're doing as an entrepreneur. Like, I'm just so impressed, you know, with what you're doing." And it meant so much to me, especially because even within this wonderful marriage that I'm in, my business is still my own. Like, just having that thing that is just my own, I find to be so, so empowering. And just, you know, when you make your decisions, you know, sometimes you make good decisions and sometimes you make bad decisions, but they're your decisions. And, totally. And I love that. So, so that's a big why for me, but also I love my jewelry so much. I love talking about it. I love rescuing it. I love like pairing special pieces with special people who have been looking for those things. Like every day I'm excited to do my job because I just love this stuff so much.
That's incredible. I think that's the perfect combo right there.
Yeah. I get to play with jewelry all day. It's awesome.
And you get paid for it. That's amazing.
Yes.
I love it. Thanks so much for sharing that. What do you see in the future of your company? What do you want for Sonbert, Sarah, Antique Jewelry? What are your plans?
Yeah, well, I hope that I can like keep collaborating with other people. So something that's really, really been fun for me is collaborating with wedding photographers and, you know, different stylists. Yes. I would love to like lend pieces for red carpet events. I would love to lend pieces for, you know, performances and just kind of integrate the art of jewelry with other art forms and other events. So I hope that there's a lot more collaboration in my future. And yeah, I just think, you know,
and that's art, it's all art. You have such a niche down, you know, it's so specific what you sell. It'll be, if you know, being a stylist myself and working with different designers all the time and on shows and photo shoots and stuff, there's a huge market for that for sure.
It's so much fun. I mean, it's like when you see your pieces as part of a bigger picture, it all just comes alive. Like seeing it with the hair and the makeup and the dresses and then the model's face or the person who's wearing it, their face when that jewelry piece just completes the look is like chills. I love it.
I completely agree. Sarah, where can people contact you, where they can check out the store or maybe learn more about your singing?
Yes, I am on Instagram all the time. Okay. At Songbird Sarah Jewelry. And so from my Instagram, you can Obviously, see all the jewelry. I'm posting stories all the time, teaching people about antique jewelry. You can also find videos of my singing. And from there, you'll find a link to my website. But if you want to go directly to the website, it is songbirdsarahantiquejewelry.com.
Okay, great, great. Sarah, is there anything else you would like to share with the listeners?
Let's see. Okay, I have a little PSA about jewelry safety in the summertime.
Awesome,
just
go
one
for
last
it.
Little thing. Okay, guys, don't wear your gold jewelry in the chlorinated pool.
Ooh, mm-hmm.
This is important because chlorine will weaken the gold alloy. Your stones can pop out and your jewelry will weaken. So gold is very strong, but chlorine is also very strong. So safely store your gold jewelry and do not wear it in the pool.
Yes, I love that. Because, you know, I mean, growing up, I knew that gold or silver I can wear, but I realize that that happens sometimes, so I'm like, maybe not.
Yes, take care of your jewelry.
Well, thank you so much, Sarah. This has been so much fun.
This was great.
No, thank you for being here and being so open and sharing everything with us. This has definitely been fun. That's what I have for you guys today. I hope that this was helpful. Please check out her Instagram and her website. Support Sarah and what she's doing. And if you have a question, let us know. If you like this podcast, please let me know. Send me an email, a message, or share it with someone who might like it. Also, if you have a moment, please subscribe to our podcast to show your support. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you, Sarah. Thank you for hanging us with us today. And I hope that you have a fantastic rest of your week.
You too.
Bye.
Bye.